calling all members of the in crowd. If you want to get in on the action, we want to hear from you. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X @faderoutednz. You can find us on Facebook, The Fade Route with DNZ. We're on Spreaker. We're on YouTube, The Fade Route with DNZ. Catch our videos. Like, subscribe, share, tell your friends, and spread the word. Coming at you from the Hey Yo Studios, it's the Fade Route with DNZ. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Coming at you live from the Ayo Studio, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you on this Saturday morning. Bronny declares for the NBA, Spencer Strider and Shane Bieber go down, and the Yankees are red hot. But we begin today's show actually on a sad note. Orenthal J. Simpson passed away at the age of 76 years old. Mostly known for playing in the NFL, playing for USC, but also a murder trial that captivated America for the most part. Z, we briefly spoke about this in a production meeting, and we said, you know, we had to start the show off with the passing of this Hall of Fame athlete, larger than life person, but also very, very murky, you know, life that, you know, he was not found guilty of killing his ex-wife and her lover, but he did serve 9 years in prison for an unrelated case involving memorabilia robbery. He was a poster child for really domestic violence, which really came out in the trial. And he was really good in those Naked Gun movies. I mean, really, honestly, you wouldn't know, you know. So Z, what do you got? Doesn't look like you're, it looks like you left the recording. So I'll start off, you know, since he's out, with mixed feelings about it. Really just mixed feelings about it. You know, he was an amazing athlete for USC and for the Buffalo Bills. And then, you know, he transitioned pretty easily to doing some broadcasting. And then he was in the Naked Gun movies, which were hilarious. And he wasn't really known for acting, but all of a sudden he was, you know, with Leslie Nielsen. And it was, he was this great figure. And then all of a sudden we have this situation where his ex-wife and her lover get murdered, and he's you know, driving in a Bronco, gunning it on the freeway with a gun, and all of the LA police department's following him. And then he goes to trial. It's sounding like he's really guilty. He hires this all-star team of attorneys, and you know, he, and all of a sudden the glove don't fit and you must acquit. And everybody's like, oh my God, he really didn't do it. And then he winds up getting exonerated there, but everybody felt he did it. And there was a lot of black versus white in neighborhoods. You could see people like in the white neighborhoods going, you can't believe he's not guilty. The black neighborhoods are like, yes, they're excited. And then years later, you know, the behavior just starts, you know, trickling down. And then all of a sudden you're seeing that, you know, he goes to prison for 9 years for this stupid memorabilia robbery. And, you know, it's just murky. It's all murky, Z. Turn your mic on. Still having some mic trouble, so I'll just keep going. Oh, there he is. He's back. Go ahead, talk. I heard you. I can hear you. No, still no? Unbelievable. Unbelievable person, larger than life figure.
Here we go. You hear me now?
Yeah, there he is. All right, Z's in here. Go ahead. You can spin. I spun for the night while I was waiting for you. All
right, you have to love internet connections. So, it's a complicated matter. It's an absolutely complicated matter that you're dealing with here because you have the high side of sports, right? You have, you know, what he did at USC, what he did for the Buffalo Bills, what, you know, he accomplished on the field, and the monster that he was off the field, right? Like, what the public saw in terms of the Naked Gun and the rent-a-car commercials and, you know, the public face of O.J. Simpson, and it belied what was underneath. And what was underneath was a monster. Now, that we have the luxury of being old enough to have watched that trial in real time. And that was some legal maneuvering, man. Like, that was some, like, that was like the dream team, right? They called them the dream team. Like, that was so, they were so adept at legal maneuvering that, yeah, he was found not guilty. He was acquitted.
The LAPD really dropped the ball too. I mean, they mishandled the evidence. There was bungles by that department big time, which did not help.
No, absolutely not.
The glove didn't fit, and you must have quit. Yikes!
The glove didn't fit. There was a field trip. They took a field trip to the. I mean, who does that? I mean, usually images from the crime scene will suffice. No, let's get a bus, and let's go, and let's do this whole thing. Like, it was captivating for a summer. Like, I remember waking up watching the OJ trial, and then they would break. And then NBC would cut in with Days of Our Lives. And then they would go back to OJ. And then, you know, in New York, we had the Rangers, the Knicks, and the Yankees all doing well. So it was a nice segue into the day. Like, it made the day, it made the summer move very quickly. But, you know, it really shone a light on police misconduct. What defense attorneys are willing to do and how far they're willing to go to get their client acquitted. Because even with the glove, right? Even if the glove not fitting, so much circumstantial evidence points to the fact that he did this thing, right? It's one of those things where it's like, no, they got him dead to rights.
Yep.
He is dead to rights. But then all of a sudden, the legal system kind of the maneuvering of the legal system allows for this to happen. Now, moving forward, you know, OJ became a troll. Like, OJ was trolling people. Like, he released the book, If I Did It.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. That's like Pete Rose releasing the book, If I Bet on the Reds. Like, come on. Are you fucking serious right now? That's insane. You have that. You have the, I'm never going to stop looking for Nicole and Ron's killer. And the, you know, you got to love the internet. The internet is undefeated as usual. They're like, well, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. You found him. You found him. And, you know, you mentioned the memorabilia robbery. And it's very clear. It is really very clear that it's a complicated matter, but ultimately, he was a spousal abuser. He was acquitted of murder. He settled a civil suit. Let's not forget that. He did settle a civil suit. So there is some culpability there. Right? Maybe not the culpability that Goldman and Brown families were hoping for. But there was some level of culpability, some admission of that. And it's just complicated. It's just murky. it's kind of like you said it. You said it best. It is very murky. But at the end of the day, I think we've all made our decisions on OJ. We've all kind of condemned him in the court of public opinion. And you know, you gotta love it. You gotta love X. You know, if Fade Route DNZ, I was on there frequently on the day that OJ passed, and people did not forget. People did not forget, and people held no mercy, had no mercy for OJ. My favorite one, outside of the 11-minute clip that somebody put up of Norm Macdonald just dragging OJ on Weekend Update, you know, like, that's fantastic. Like, he made OJ's career. I mean, he made Norm Macdonald's career. Norm Macdonald was, like, merciless. And it was hilarious. It's a shame that people didn't get his humor, for the most part. But you had that. But then also, in this meme generation, oh my god. Absolutely wonderful. The comedy on this is amazing. The best one, they took the headline, OJ Simpson dies from cancer at age 76. Underneath, I didn't do it. Quote, cancer. So, you know, there is something here for everybody. There's, if you mourn the athlete, mourn the athlete. It's hard to compartmentalize him. You know, it really is hard to compartmentalize him because it was such a part of that summer of 94. And it's been such talked about. It's been so talked about, and it's history, and we live through it, and we've all formed our opinion, and that opinion has gotten to bake in over time. But we'll definitely like look back on this, and we'll have more clarity because we are able to see, oh yeah, like the police misconduct, absolutely, but also the legal maneuverings. You also had the ineptitude of Marsha Clark and Christopher Darden. Like, that legal team just did not get the job done. Like, they felt so, like, feckless compared to the guys like Johnny Cochran and F. Lee Bailey and Shapiro. And, you know, it was just a living drama. It was like a real soap opera in front of our eyes.
Do you love brownies? Of course you love brownies. But you know what's better than a brownie? A delicious, handcrafted, gourmet brownie delivered right to your doorstep. That's what our guys at Sweet Life Brownie Co. offer. Chef Tommy D and the crew offer a dozen delicious delights that you will crave, from the classic OB to Dutch Apple to Campfire S'mores and many more. Check out their website, sweetlifebrownieco.com, for their Friday brownie drops. At noon, their site goes live, and you see what they're making. Since you're there, become a site member and earn points. You earn 50 points just by signing up. Make sure you follow on Instagram and Facebook, too, at sweetlifebrownie_co for the latest updates and their latest releases and creations. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com. Give them a call, 845-641-3043, and tell them D&Z sent you. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com, 845-641-3043. Sweet Life Brownie Co., because there's always room for a brownie.
Moving on to happier times.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, let's start with the results of the women's NCAA basketball tournament. Dawn Staley and the South Carolina Gamecocks captured their second straight national championship, beating Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes 87-75. Dawn Staley thanked Clark for her contributions to women's college basketball and called her one of the GOATs. See, do you share this same sentiment? You think it was a good time for Dawn Staley to talk about Caitlin Clark?
Very gracious. A very gracious champion. Like, that's amazing to me that that coach would go out of her way to be so complimentary of her opponent. But I mean, I understand going for that. I get that. But at the same time, at that point, maybe not. Maybe you take you do that at the press conference. Like, maybe not on the court. But you know, you celebrate your team. Like, you guys just won. You just knocked off You just knocked off, you know, the GOAT, if you are to believe this. You know, like, I firmly believe that Caitlin Clark is a very good player. I'm sick and tired of the, to be honest with you, I'm tired of the GOAT conversation.
Yes, I am too. I'm with you, man.
It's, you know what, you're the greatest until the next one comes along. Like, that's how this works.
She's a great shooter.
Right.
But I've seen, in this tournament, no less, I've seen teams plan for her and give her a hard time.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to rescind my decision that she should go to the Big Three.
Oh.
She can't play in the Big Three. She can't. It's too physical for her. You can see when teams get physical with her, she gets frustrated. Now, maybe she'll grow out of that. I don't know. But you can see she visibly gets frustrated and her game gets frustrated. And
I mean, that's a generational thing. I mean, guys don't like physical play either. And it's been legislated out of the game for the most part.
Probably, but, you know, you can just see that. And and I've seen teams box and one her, triangle into her, and it does give her a problem. And she'll turn the ball over, she'll chuck up wild shots. I'm not saying she's still a good player, mm-hmm. but give me Candace Parker.
Yes.
Over Caitlin Clark. Give me Cheryl Miller over Caitlin Clark.
Keep going.
Give me
Lisa Leslie.
Give me Lisa Leslie. No, there's Brianna Stewart. Give me Brianna Stewart.
That's
give
four.
Give me Diana Taurasi.
That's
give
five.
Give me Sue Bird. No, like, you're good, but man, Sue Bird to me is upper echelon basketball player. Women's. I would rock a Sue Bird jersey. I would totally buy a Sue Bird jersey and wear that jersey. That's how good and how great I think Sue Bird is. And behind her is Taurasi. Taurasi, to me, she's like that next generation, like, go to the basket, take your soul kind of thing going on.
Maya Moore was very good.
Maya Moore is really good. But I can see, I can make an argument where Caitlin Clark is better than Maya Moore. But Candace Parker?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Like, so, yeah, you're good. You're very good. Very good shooter. But to say you're an all-time great and I want to thank you for what you've done to the women's game,
To be fair, Caitlin Clark got more eyes on that game than the University of South Carolina women's basketball team going for an undefeated season.
Yeah.
If it was UConn, because it would have been either Iowa or UConn, I don't know if UConn brings, they might, because it's UConn. You throw another team in there, right? I don't know if you get this.
No, I can agree with that. My only thing is that I don't know why people were tuning in. Like, to be honest with you, I was tuning in to see Caitlin Clark. I was tuning in because I wanted to see how they were going to stop her.
Right.
And I wanted to see her lose. I'm sorry being cynic, but that's what I was really tuning in for.
But they
really
played that up, though. They play, you, the hype train is so much in this day and age that, you know, you want to see that. It's kind of like, almost like, to bring it back to wrestling, because I know that's, you know, what we do around here sometimes. It's like Honky Tonk Man. It's built up.
I'm bleeding. I'm bad.
You just build it up and build it up and build it up and just like, when will this fucking guy lose? Just like, when?
You just compare Caitlin Clark to the Honky Tonk Man.
I didn't compare her to the Honky Tonk Man. She is better at her job than the Honky Tonk Man was at his job. But what I'm saying is the hype and the draw about it, and it's just I will be so happy when you lose because you'll be off my TV. Like that kind of thing. But, you know, I mean, it is very gracious of Dawn Staley to make that statement. But, you know, if I'm Camila Cardozo, I don't know how I feel about that. Maybe I'm holding my championship and I'm like, I don't give a shit right now. You say what you want. You're talking about a loser. But, you know, but coach, like, we played too. Like, we just undefeated season. Like, that's us. Like, can we talk about us right now? Can we do that? Like,
I love the t-shirt today, by the way. But
thank you for being a friend.
But I also think you got to give credit to, you lost to Iowa, the team.
Yes.
So you, by saying that, you're kind of shitting on her, the team. And if I'm Gabby Marshall, I'm taking offense to that. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I played with this girl. I threw her in the basketball. Like, what are you talking about? Like, we all played on this team.
This was a seven-player rotation. Yeah. You know, and one player only got 5 minutes. Like,
yeah,
that's not good. Like, that nobody that's a
on their bench. Nobody on their no. bench scored.
Nobody.
Nobody on their bench scored.
No, absolutely nobody not. On their bench scored. That is a fundamental flaw
also,
in the game plan. Come on.
But also, I have to say, I did watch more I did watch more women's basketball these several weeks, so she definitely got me watching it. But I have to say that the women's game is very interesting in that I am surprised by how many people blow layups, but I'm also very satisfied with the aggressiveness that the refs let them play with.
Mm.
Because you can see girls are going to the ground, girls are getting slapped, and they're not blowing the whistle. They allow, at least in the four games I watched.
The women's game is way more physical than the men's game.
The refs allowed physical play, but and I do appreciate that there's less, well, I mean, in college basketball overall, there's very little one-on-one, but in women's basketball, no, you're running the play. We're running the play, and we're going to see where we get out of this. But it was interesting to see that. It was interesting to see that side of it.
Where does this put Dawn Staley is my question. Because, I mean, at this point, she's undefeated season. She's got a national championship. She's got a budding dynasty in South Carolina. Where does that – I mean, clearly she is one of
she's
the top
–
She's on her way.
She's on her way. Because, I mean, she's that next level of coach, right? She's that – you know, because Gino's going to be leaving. Pat Summitt's already gone. Like, she's that next – Bulky's there. So she's going to be in those conversations. She can keep riding it out.
Vandeveer just retired.
Yeah, I don't know if she wants to really go to the WNBA or if she wants to get into the pro game, but I think, you know, she's gonna have a UConn or volunteer type run if she stays in South Carolina and she keeps making South Carolina relevant. And then, you know, on the men's side,
speaking of UConn,
yeah, Zach Edey and Purdue fell to the UConn Huskies and confirmed what we thought all year. That UConn was the best basketball team in the country. Zach Edey was back-to-back player of the year. He had 35 points in this game. But what is his floor and what is his ceiling in the NBA?
Well, first and foremost, you know what? Let's give...
I'm surprised that Danny Hurley didn't thank Zach Edey and talk about how he raised the college game in his...
Well, you know, like Dan Hurley.
He actually said that we just wanted to stop. We were going to let Zach go crazy, and we're just going to not let them shoot any threes, and we knew we'd win.
Like that's the thing. That's the thing, right?
Just being honest, man.
That's what he does. This is Hurley. This is the Dan Hurley. This is the Hurley show. This is what he does.
Just being honest.
Like, we're going to handle our business, and we're going to kick your ass. Like, that is UConn basketball right now. You know, like, you got a t-shirt on that says Proud Daddy. Like, UConn is the daddy of the NCAA right now. There's nobody. They got caught three times, but there is nobody that can legit hold up to them. Now,
they're undefeated in national championship games, right?
Yeah, he's 12-0 in his tournaments. UConn is 12-0 in the tournaments under Hurley. So that's all you need to know. He recruits well. They play well. They play a system. You know, unlike
I mean, as a school, I don't think they've ever lost.
No, I don't think they have either.
They've never lost the championship.
Ollie Calhoun and her, I think they are undefeated in national championship.
One.
Yeah, so that's a pretty big statistic. But as far as Zach Edey goes, 7'4", 285, he's already got an NBA body, right? Like, you're concerned about that. Now, at the high level, you're probably looking. I would probably say like a Dirk.
Just whoa.
You said high level. Like, that's a high level.
Wow.
Like,
that's a high level.
That's a
Dirk.
High level.
Wow.
Now, but with 7'4", 285, eventually it comes the foot problems, right? It eventually becomes the leg problems. Can he handle the beating of playing in the NBA? Now, at the high level, like, his scoring ability is such that he could be Dirk. He absolutely could be Dirk. Now, could he also kind of end up being, like, a player that kind of flames out in the league? Sure, absolutely. Like, anytime you're dealing with a big guy, like, you definitely need to be concerned. Over the time, like, injuries happen, wear and tear happens. Fortunately for him, he's in the day and age where conditioning and strength is very, you know, it's top notch. It's possible he can have a long career. At the high level, excellent player. At the low level, bench rotational kind of player. But, I mean, he also has a hell of a fastball. There was also some video leaked about him throwing on the mound, and I think he was topping at like 85. So imagine a 7'4", 285, throwing like 85. Like, there's some intimidation there. I mean, Mark Hendrickson, I think, was 6'11". So if Zachy decided to go pro, he would be the tallest Major League Baseball player ever. So you do you, Zach. You decide what you want to do. But for me, as far as just his scoring, just for scoring, I could see him as being a Dirk.
Wow. I mean, that's I didn't see that coming. So I'll start with the high mark. I think his high mark is like a DeAndre Ayton.
Ooh.
A poor man's DeAndre Ayton.
Ooh.
And then I would say his low mark is, like you said, is more like a rotational player. You know, kind of go in and get some fouls and, you know, just get rebounds. I don't see him as really lighting it up. I think he I don't want to say he quit, but I think in the second half, when there was under 4 minutes to go, I didn't see that fire anymore. It was almost like he kind of realized we're 15 down, we're not gonna get past this. And he played a lot of minutes in that game and in the tournament in general. And you gotta understand that, see, most of the time he was never challenged by another big that was either of his size or of his weight.
Mm.
Right? When he goes to the next level, those are grown men. They may not be as tall as he is, but they're gonna get physical with him. And I don't know how he's going to respond to that.
Well, that's why I'm saying Dirk, because I don't see him being a penetrator. I see him being more of like a mid-range jumper, three shooter.
He's got that mid-range jumper.
He's got time to develop it. Like,
yeah,
that's
to develop. Oh, yeah, 100%. Which is true. I could totally get on board with that. He needs to develop. He's not a finished product. He's not refined.
So my question to you is, like, where do you see him going in the draft? Is he your number one overall pick? Or, I mean, no. It's way too early to discuss.
No, it's not early to discuss. He's not. No, I don't think.
You mean he's not a Detroit Piston based on his mental outlook on the game?
I just, yeah. Let me see. What do we got? Let me see. NBA draft.
So right now you're looking at Pistons, Wizards, and Blazers have the three worst records. But with a lottery system, like, who the hell knows? Like, that's the beauty part of the NBA draft.
I think he's a first rounder. But I don't know if... I'd say he's a first rounder. Top 15.
That's fair.
16, 17, maybe he goes there. You know, I was surprised to learn, you know, how many, like, the NBA draft is only like 60 players.
Oh, yeah.
And then not only that, but once you get to the second round, you're talking about like rotational players. Like, very rarely does a player in the second round become a star. I'm talking about like less than 10% of the time. Like, they actually amount to anything.
A two-time MVP was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial. That's all you need to know about the second round of the NBA draft.
Right. So, he's had a nice little career, right? I mean, what he's done with. What he's done with Purdue really putting them on the map, you know. So yeah, let's look at right now. If the season ended today and the draft was tomorrow, you got the Wizards, the Pistons, the Spurs, Charlotte.
I don't know if Charlotte would do it, but that's a possibility.
I mean, that could, actually, you Portland, mentioned the Spurs. Memphis. That's actually interesting. You pair him with Wemby?
Rockets. I don't think.
Little Mr. Inside, Mr. Outside kind of thing.
I don't know if they've got patience for him. Like you said, he's got to be developed.
Yeah.
He's a Pelicans. Pelicans at 14.
That's interesting.
Or 12. Like in that. See, that's what I'm talking about. Like a team. Like even the Heat. I can see the Heat doing it.
I'm looking at this, and you know,
right? Raptors, because he's Canadian, isn't he Canadian? He's Canadian.
I'm pretty sure.
He's Canadian.
That would be something. Yeah, Raptors. Toronto, Ontario.
Boom, that's a home run for them. That's a home in the teens. Magic, Orlando Magic. Knicks better not do that. Hawks in the 20s now.
Well, I mean, Knicks. if the Hawks are rebuilding, because you know you have the, there's always rumors circulating around Trae Young. If they decide to move on from Trae Young, like they could put Zach Edey in, put some asses in seats. But you know,
Spurs,
I'm looking at it's worth a
Spurs,
shot. I don't
Spurs,
know.
Maybe if it dips to the second round.
Possibly, but you know what? I'm kind of disappointed in what we got this year from the Spurs. Like, again, the hype train of it all. Like, yeah, Wemby's great. He's all right. He's all right.
No, he's really... Some of the things he does are like, wow.
Yeah, but at the same time, like...
How do you stop that? You can't stop it.
Yeah, you stop everybody else. It's the same strategy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you stop
yeah.
everybody else.
Right. He can't put up 100. Although, I do think he'll have 80 points.
Now... I have a question for you. Would Hurley ever consider a move to the NBA? As dominant as he's been and as much...
I think he wants to go to the NBA. I think he does. I think the right situation. I think he wants to go on the... I mean, he's relatively young.
Yeah.
I think he's going to keep this run going with UConn. But I do think that once the NBA calls, I think he's going to do go. And I think he's going to have some success there. I think he's going to do well. Because... He's fiery, but he's got very good schemes, and I think he can get players to play for him, much like Billy Donovan did. You know, you when you know what you're talking about, the pros will listen to you, you know, and it doesn't get old. Like, when you know what you're talking about, it doesn't get old, you know?
No, absolutely.
And that's what happens with D'Antoni. And some of those guys, it gets old. You're hearing the same shit over and over again. It's like, yeah, I've heard this before. I don't really give a shit. But when you get those guys that know the X's and O's and know the game of basketball and respect you and respect the game, I think he can get pros to listen to him.
I mean, you have to listen to him, right? Because he's a second-generation coach. Like, he comes from a family of coaches.
It's the family.
It's
the
game, man.
I mean, they just know. And the other thing I
Jersey
like
City,
about
baby.
Him, listen, I don't like him, but, I mean... I like about him is that he worked his way up. Like, he started coaching high school.
Yeah.
Then he got to college, and he didn't start at UConn. He started somewhere else. He made his way there. I respect the shit out of that. Like, yeah, maybe nepotism got your name out there and got you in the door, but you, my friend, worked for it, and you deserve all the success that you're getting.
Absolutely.
But now, you know, moving over, we talked about the NBA draft. Let's keep that talk going. Bronny James.
Oh, Bronny.
Son of LeBron James.
Oh.
Will be entering the NBA draft along with the transfer portal, because you're allowed to do that these days. After a marginal season at his first year at USC. Z, do you think Bronny James will be drafted, and wouldn't he be better off staying in college?
He averaged 5 points, 3 boards, and 2 assists.
On
now,
a bad team.
And he sure. did have that heart issue. Right at the beginning of the, this is a bad move, man.
I just don't know what's fueling this. Why?
LeBron has an option that's not being picked up, and he's a package deal. So you get my kid, you get me. Like,
so is that what LeBron is telling his son?
It's got to be, man.
Or is that what Bronny is telling himself? Like, I just find it very hard to believe that LeBron, who went to his games, is saying you got to declare for the NBA. Like, really? Like, USC's best player is going to the NBA. Wouldn't it be better served for you to stay
Absolutely.
In USC, get some more minutes, become a key player, then come play. Listen, I know you want to play with your father and everything, but damn, I don't see it, man. Like let's look at what's the other kid, Austin Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I hate Austin Rivers, he was ready for the NBA.
Right.
And he was a very good player, and he was a good player in college. I don't know why I guess because I'm talking about Duke. J.J. Redick was – I hated that guy, but he could shoot, and he was ready for the NBA. Well, Bronny, I mean, man.
If I was Bronny and I was getting something about USC – like, they need to be in his ear like Pete Carroll was in Mark Sanchez's ear. Ultimately, Mark Sanchez did not listen to him. You're not ready.
The coach left. The USC coach left.
There you go. That's all you need to know. But, dude, you suffer – you almost had a heart attack. You almost died on the court in practice. You're not putting up numbers. I look at you. I see a G League player.
Yeah.
If that. Like, these stat lines, you're a G League player. Build up your stock. Build up your body, prove that this was an aberration, and then we can talk. I know that your dad, his window is closing. Here's an idea, LeBron. You have all your college eligibility. Go play college ball. Go the other way. You know, Rodney Dangerfield. Do the triple Lindy. Go back to school.
The J.R. Smith.
Yeah, exactly. He has all of his eligibility. You want to play with your son that bad, go get your degree. So I don't know what to tell you, bro.
So see, I have a question for you.
Okay.
You are the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You have the 36th pick in the NBA draft. You have a second round pick. Bronny James is on the table.
No.
Do you waste it, right? You don't waste it, right?
No. Absolutely
I don't
not.
Know a team. I don't. The only thing I could see is if you're a second round team, if you're the 76ers. Right?
Okay.
And you're like, okay, there's some second round talent out here, but if we can get some concessions that LeBron will come to Philadelphia if we draft his son, then we'll draft him.
I think that's what it is.
I'm not going to get concessions from LeBron that he's coming. I can't take him.
No.
I can't because he's not going to make the team. Like he's like and 76ers is the one team I look at. I'm like, man, if they could get LeBron with Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, forget about his son. They've got a shot.
Yeah.
I hate to say this, but this is also true. If you're the New York Knicks, right? If you're the New York Knicks, okay? You get LeBron with Brunson?
Mm.
And those young guys that can... I mean, they're playing well now, Z.
Mm-hmm.
If you add an elite defender like LeBron... But, again, I'm not paying you, dude.
I'm adding LeBron at 40, though.
You're getting veteran minimum. I can't pay you. You know, you're not getting a ton of cash.
Right.
But I'll draft your son, and that's the exchange here.
Right.
But that's the only way I see this going down. I can't imagine... Like, I can't imagine a team like, I don't know, the Portland Trailblazers saying, oh, we'll take Bronny, and we'll see what happens. Like, you can't... That's not going
to
work,
You
man.
Also have to look at it from the LeBron James standpoint. Like, I'm going to go to a winner. I'm going to go to a team that might get me a ring. I'm not going to go to the Detroit Pistons. I'm no offense to the people of Detroit.
Another team?
Yeah.
I don't know if you would do it. Boston Celtics?
Oh, my God.
Because they have it. They have the picks.
They do.
They can do it. You know, they can... And their team is set, right?
Yeah.
We're good.
Son of the Midwest. But does he go to the Bucks?
If we use the 42nd pick on Bronny... And you come here with Bronny to Boston.
I know, like that would be
who would
a
you
coup.
Say? The Bucks.
The Bucks.
I don't think he would go there.
Son of the Midwest. Like, I mean, Cleveland's off the table. I think Cleveland three, the third time for Cleveland, is off the table. But they might
see Pat Riley doing this, right?
Oh Jesus! Can you imagine? He goes back to Miami.
You're coming back, man. But that's the only I can't imagine a team like Sacramento. Or the Wizards.
No.
Like taking this.
The Nets?
There's no way he's going in the first round. Like you can't. you can't take that chance
no.
in the first round. But in the second round, you're like, all right, we only got like a 10, we only got a 3% chance of hitting a rotational player in this round. So let's just go with this kid and we'll get his father and we'll see what happens.
Now, here are two. They're young. They can use a veteran presence. And LeBron, you know, he is a savvy player. He's a savvy businessman. He understands trends. The Rockets are trending upward. And the Magic are trending upward.
Yeah. Sure.
Because...
It's not... I mean, but if you... But put yourself in his shoes. You want to go to Orlando?
I want to go to a winner. I want to go to a team that's going
to
get me close.
You and your son to go to... So like, if Houston calls you and Tampa...
I'll listen.
You and they're like...
I'll listen. State income tax, Florida and Texas.
So you care about cash at this point.
Oh, yeah. Know? Oh, absolutely. That... It's a business. At the end of the day, it's still a business.
What about Dallas?
With Cuban? Oh, with Luke? Oh, would he do Kyrie again? Would he really yeah. play with Kyrie
he
again?
He's talented, and it seems like Kyrie gets it now. Mm. For Dallas. Like they if you
that would
them
be
play,
very interesting.
If you watch them play, they actually play very. You know, I wasn't sure. We both weren't sure how Luka and Kyrie were going to play together. They play actually together very nicely.
Yeah, I mean, last year, I mean, it's proving that they knew what they were doing when they acquired Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie seems to be understanding his role. So I think that's important.
If I'm the Lakers, the only thing that I'm going to do is tell LeBron, like, I got to trade you, man. Like, I got to trade you. If you're going to stay in the West, you got to help us out.
Right.
So I'll trade you to Dallas. Dallas, I want Tim Hardaway Jr. and like three other players and a draft pick.
Right.
And then you can just go to Dallas. That's what I would say. If you're going to go in the West, then you got to – I don't care if you go to the East. You go to the West, dude, you got to help me out, man. Like you can't bolt like that. Because let's be real, the Lakers can't do it. The Lakers cannot draft his son.
He's not a Laker. I mean, yes, he's played for the – he's not a Laker. Ask a Laker fan if LeBron James is a Laker.
I've only seen him play like twice, and it was high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I you know what's crazy is the NBA. Remember the NBA? I think it was the NBA. Maybe it was ESPN. Maybe it was ESPN. They released their like you know too early draft picks.
Yeah.
For like, and they had Bronny at 10.
Stop. Stop. You're embarrassing yourself.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. The simplest occasion is a party. Westchester Pop Stars, located in New Rochelle, New York, offers balloon styling and decor for all life's events. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, showers, school and corporate events, store openings, or just because. Westchester Pop Stars takes balloons and shapes them into works of art, creating decorative installations for your special occasions. No event is too big or too small, and their custom personalization service is top notch. Westchester Pop Stars is a private studio, quickly expanding. In-person consultation is by appointment only. Send an email to westchesterpopstars@gmail.com for more information or to schedule an appointment. No need to hire an event stylist. All you need is balloons. Currently servicing Westchester, Putnam, New York City, and Connecticut. To find Westchester Pop Stars, search for them on Instagram, Facebook, or Google.
But listen, we didn't film earlier in the week, but there was a blockbuster trade right after we did our show last week.
Yes, it was.
So the Buffalo Bills sent Diggs, a fifth rounder and a sixth rounder, to the Houston Texans for a second round pick. The Texans voided the last 3 years of Diggs' deal, so he's going to be a free agent after this season. Z, who won this trade?
Well, immediately after the trade, you start getting these reports of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs getting into screaming matches.
Wild.
Yeah, so a lot of well poisoning going on. It's too early to tell. Like, in the short term, yeah, Houston just got a lot fucking better. Like, I gotta say. Like, if you bring
wow,
it...
Wow, you think
you,
so, huh?
If you bring it, you have another year of Stroud. Diggs becomes your number one. Those, like, Collins and Dell, they become your two and three. That's a deep core now. That's a deep wide receiver core. Damian Pierce is still there. You added Joe Mixon. You now have a deep, you have a deep team. And let's be fair, that division isn't that great. Right? You have Indy, you have Jacksonville. Like, come on, you can win that division. You can.
If you were Houston, so if you were Houston, you made the call.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, hey, what can you get? What can you give? What do I need to do to make this happen?
What gives with Diggs? What gives? What do I got?
He's a wideout, man. Like, that's it. He's a wideout. At the end of the day, like, this is bound to happen. I mean, the Bills got a 2025 second round pick, a second round pick, and they sent a sixth rounder and a fifth rounder and the player. So that tells you all you need to know.
Let's talk numbers real quick. So he plays, right? He does. Games off. He played just the last 4 years, 15, 17, 16, 17. So he plays. Going back to 2020, his first year with the Bills, 127 receptions, 103 receptions, 108 receptions, 107 receptions. Yardage, 1,500, 1,200, 1,400, 1,100. And then touchdowns, 8, 10, 11, 8.
With Cousins and Josh Allen as his quarterback.
So here's my only problem with the deal. If I'm Houston, I gave up a second round pick in a stacked wide receiver draft this year. Okay. He didn't win in Minnesota. He didn't win in Buffalo.
No. Okay.
He's asked me to void the last 3 years of his deal so that he can be a free agent after this year. So that means two things to me. One, he's going to ball out this year because
yep.
he wants a big contract for next year. But it also means that if he does get hurt, he ain't playing.
Right.
He's not going to risk the rest because he's on the 1 year. I'm good without him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm good without him. I got young receivers. I'm good without him. Reports are he was toxic in Minnesota. He was toxic in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to manage that. I'm in a weak division. I'm going to win the division. So that's my only problem. I personally felt they gave up too much. I think a second round pick was way too much. And he's trending downward for me. He's going to be 31 this year. And they were going to trade him. Like, there was no doubt that they were going to trade him. And it was, I think this conversation happened last year with him in camp, before camp. And they were probably like, yo, we got to win this year. Because if we don't, we're going to deal you. And I think they were brutally honest with him, which kind of led to the animosity there. Because, you know, you don't want to hear that. And especially this is the second time for him. So that's where I am. I do think that he's going to be good for them. I think the Texans are going to be good, but we're also going to find out a lot about Josh Allen now, right? Because now you lost your gun. You lost your gun. Now, Pat Mahomes lost his gun, still won two Super Bowls. You lose your gun and Gabe Davis. What's going to happen to you?
Oh, you're absolutely going to figure out that Josh Allen needed those other guys. Absolutely. And, you know, like, we've seen that, you know, we've seen that already because he didn't come into the league, Stephon Diggs. They went and got him to try and, you know, open the window and keep the window open.
Right.
Window's closing. The window's closing on the Bills right now. That's why you have all these rumors. Now, I don't believe them for one friggin' second that he might be available. No way.
Are you dealing Josh Allen? Are the Bills the best team in that division?
No.
Who's the best
team? Miami.
Miami,
with a healthy Tua, and if they can figure out that they don't need to be a high octane in September and October, they need to be ready for December and January. Miami, with his head on straight, is a dangerous team. Like, that's the thing. Like, Mike McDaniel, you're now... You know, you're a seasoned coach, you're a veteran coach in this league. You got to know when to put your foot on the gas pedal and take your foot off the gas pedal, right? It's not aggregate, it's not goal differential, it's not, you know, it's not that. It's wins and losses. And you need to manage that throughout the season. You don't have to go 70 on the Broncos. You don't have to.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Yeah, but they got to take care of business early in the season because later in the season They don't fare so well in cold weather.
Right, but they need to adapt the Mike McDaniel system to make that work in cold weather. But
We're gonna find out a lot about Buffalo. We're gonna find out a lot about Josh Allen. I am not very optimistic about it because he didn't win with Diggs.
No,
and he didn't win with Gabe Davis.
No.
He still runs too much. You know, I just think he's. Last year sucked. Last year was your year. Last year was the year, and you just didn't come through. And he's got a good arm. He's a good player. But like I said with him, it's gonna be the Elway jam. Like, it's gonna be the last 2 years he wins like back to back, and then he retires. Like, that's the way it's gonna go for Josh Allen.
Probably, because you know, eventually you take a beating. Like, especially playing the game the way Josh Allen plays the game, you're gonna take a beating. It's just the way it is when you're that physical that, you know, it's going to catch up to you. But I gotta say this, right? Now that you're mentioning it, that they voided his contract and he's going to be free agent at the end of the year, he's got Dallas Cowboy written all over him, right? Like, the Stephon Diggs has Dallas Cowboy written all over him.
You know, I don't know what Dallas is doing because they didn't make any moves this offseason. They let some talented players go.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really know. Does he have... No, because they didn't go for Odell.
Like, oh, come on now. He's better than Odell Beckham. He's better than Odell Beckham.
He's better, but he's... I feel like he's in that still... He's in that class of, like, on the downside wide receiver.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's going to be 31. Yeah, he's going to be 31.
Like, I mean, I'm sure you can name 10 wide receivers you would rather have than Diggs. I mean, I think I could. I'm not over the moon for him.
I mean, he's probably, he would probably be my number 10.
I'd rather have DJ Moore than have Diggs. I'd rather have him. I mean, yeah.
Give me Higgins. Give me Jamar Chase.
Like, you can get a decent... Like, that's the whole thing with the Texans. Like, you could have got a... You could have got a decent wide receiver going into the draft. You know, I think Diggs was just available, and that's why they kind of went for him.
I don't know. I think that they're trying to sell him on Texas, and you know, he doesn't really need to be sold that much on Texas. But if they win this year and he does well, I could see a
win
reunion.
What? Win what? Like, what are you trying? What would be successful?
AFC title game.
But I don't think he wants to be there. I don't think that's what he wants to get. He wants the ball and he wants to get paid. And I think they're going to share the ball there.
And you know what? That's the bullshit of the position. It's like, come on now.
Yeah.
I would rather get all the targets and lose than split and win. Like, that's ridiculous. And that's what keeps the Chiefs above everybody else.
I think Joe M is actually going to have a fantastic year. I mean, the new scenery for him is going to be great. I think Nico Collins takes a step up. Mm-hmm. Like, they have talent. So I can't see them going in and being like, you got to throw me the ball 10 times a game. It's like, dude, welcome to Houston.
We won the division without you.
We don't really kind of need you.
No.
You're just kind of here to help out.
He's like, the parsley on the plate.
That's the only thing with that.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their hoodies, snapbacks, graphic tees, accessories, and more. Season 3 merch is up now. Get it while you can. Go to fckclout.com and get all of your needs for men and women. That's fckclout.com.
Let's get some baseball stories. The Braves, Spencer Strider, the Guardian, Shane Bieber, both sustained UCL injuries last weekend, sidelining them for the rest of the 2024 season. Some are blaming all of the arm injuries on new pitch clock. Does Major League Baseball need to do a study of the pitch clock and how it's affecting Major League pitchers?
It's part of the reason. I can't say it's the entire reason.
Yeah.
Now, you're looking at this, right? Your pitching philosophies have become max effort, max rotation, max velocity in a short window of time, 18 to 20 seconds. Now, the one thing is that the philosophy has changed in that you're not going 7 innings, 100 pitches. You're lucky if you go through the batting order twice. But in that time, in that second time through the batting order, you may have accumulated close to 80 to 85 pitches. Just because we're not valuing control. We're not valuing change of speed, change of plane. We're just going guns out. We're human jugs guns, right? They're human pitch machines is what we're trying to create. Having that level of torque on your arm, having that level of violence in a short period of time, repeatedly, with poor mechanics. Let's be honest here. A lot of these guys have piss poor mechanics because they're being taught fire as hard as you can, right? Tom Seaver had that drop and drive. Nolan Ryan, Roger Clemens, Pedro, all these guys had picture perfect mechanics.
But they also had huge legs.
Yes, yes. Like, some of these guys have chicken
Roger
legs.
Roger Clemens was like a horse.
Yes, and Nolan Ryan was
Kurt
a beast.
Kurt Schilling was a horse. You know, they had large leg muscles.
And they played long toss. So they had built up shoulders. So there are lots of factors here that I think are going a long way in determining what is beneficial and what is, you know, what is taxing on the body. Now, Major League Baseball loves the strikeout. So I don't think that's going to be changing anytime soon. And it led to an interesting argument on X, and I was going through it. Do guys like Greg Maddux get a look because they don't top 95? Like, is this next generation, like, how long is it going to take for them to realize, hey, like, maybe we don't need to throw 95 if I can place it properly? Because Greg Maddux, like, Jamie Moyer would never get a look. Slow and slower. Like, Jamie Moyer's fastball is 82 by the end of his career. 82 with like a 79 mile an hour changeup. His curveball was breaking 60. Like, come on. And he was still getting guys out. He would not survive in this, you know, in this driveline, max effort kind of society that we're in right now in Major League Baseball. So there needs to be a huge overhaul, but Major League Baseball needs to take into account that the pitch clock is partially culpable in these injuries.
Yeah, I agree. I think the pitch clock is partially the reason. But I heard Pedro talking about how guys are just not building up their arms properly in the minor leagues anymore, and they're lifting too many weights.
Yeah.
He was saying that he never touched heavy weights until he got to Major League Baseball, and that it was all about really just throwing more, not throwing hard, just throwing more in the offseason. And the other thing is he said, you know, now when you come into spring training, they're expecting you to be ready. Where he was like, when I went, I used spring training to get ready.
Right.
I was building up in spring training for the season. And he said, when you get to spring training now, they're expecting you to already have to be ready. And he's like, people's arms are not ready for that. And he also touched on, you know, you're trying to throw 98 miles an hour for 7 innings.
Right.
Not going to happen, bro. Not happening. And Verlander talked about this. You've got to be able to dial it down. Throw 92, 91, hit your spots. And then, if you want, you know, reach back in the 4th inning or the 5th inning and throw a 97 or throw a 98 to get a guy out. But the idea that if you're DeGrom, that you're going to strike out the first 3 hitters throwing between 98 and 101 miles per hour and think you're still going to be there in the 3rd and 4th inning, you're crazy. But they're also asking guys to do it differently now, right?
Yeah.
I don't need you to pitch the whole game. I want you to give it all you've got for 4 innings, and then we're going to pull you. And that kind of attitude or that kind of attack is crazy. Like, you can't throw that hard for that long.
Nope.
Your arm is not built to do that.
The human body is not built for that.
It's not. And again, when you're Roger Clemens and you've got broad shoulders and you've got big legs and you've tied everything together, yeah, you can throw 95 the whole game, sure. But there's nobody in the league that's like that. There's nobody in the league that's ready for that kind of pitching. And you've got to know your body. And that's the problem, is because if you're not going to do it, this kid will. And that's the attitude they're having. It's like, you're not going to throw as hard as you can for four innings or five batters or whatever. This guy will. And I'll bring this guy up. And that's what's messing it up.
It's not for long. This league is not for long. Like, you're really going to have a short shelf life of pitchers. Like, we talked about Strider and how he is, you know, in terms of strikeouts, like, it's great. Like, he has very, very high strikeout numbers. You got to be able to have longevity. Like, you really do. And yeah, I don't even mean within one game. Major league careers, you can last 10, 15 years. That you can actually thrive in this league with proper mechanics, with proper, you know, with proper bodybuilding. So let's take a look at Giancarlo Stanton. Perfect example. Dude doesn't have barely an ounce of fat on him, right? He's an immobile statue. He's an immobile statue. So you got to be able to make the necessary changes and adjustments to your body to preserve your career. Otherwise, you're going to be selling insurance at age 30 because your arm is like torn to shreds. Or you're going to be like playing for the Long Island Ducks. Like, that's going to be you. Like, you're going to flame out. That's just the nature of the beast. Now, Major League Baseball has fully bought into that. Why, I don't know. I'm guessing it's economics based. Because why would I want to pay a starting pitcher all this money for previous success? I can see that. You know, like, you piece together the Tampa Bay Ray model, right? With the bullpen and the opener. And it's very much in the way that the Oakland A's created the modern bullpen. The Tampa Bay Rays have kind of concocted this modern view of pitching. Like, I'll get what I can get out of you. You're disposable, and move on to the next one. And that's not necessarily right or fair, but just kind of go from there. But speaking of going from there, the Yankees. How about them Yankees? 10-3 on the season. In a year that neither one of us had super high expectations for them. You know, I thought they'd be third place. You had them being higher. But they are hot right now. 10-3. No Gerrit Cole. A struggling Aaron Judge. Is this a big deal? A little deal? Or no deal?
I think it's a big deal. I think it's really, Juan Soto has changed that locker room, has changed how everybody's playing on the field. He's a problem. I was watching the game this week. It was there against the Marlins. He's up with a runner on first and second. They couldn't pitch to him. Yeah. He's found everything off, and they were worried about giving up a shot. They walk him. He loads the bases for Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge up, bases loaded, at home against the Marlins, and he pops up.
Right.
But I think that he will get better as the season goes on. It's early, but this is the situations that are going to be created for Judge because Soto is batting ahead of him, and it's going to be there. And this is what I'm talking about. Like, they give Gerrit Cole all that money, and yes, I do think they need him to win a World Series, and they need him to be an impact in the postseason, but he's the cherry on top when you've got Juan Soto on your team. The Yankees are going to be faced with a big problem this offseason because the fans in the Bronx are going to want him back.
So, 15th in the league in runs, 16th in the league in batting average, .388 slugging percentage as a team. That's not great. That's not very good at all. But where the Yankees are shining is on base percentage. .345, sixth in the league. So, and .267 ERA. They are second in the majors. Second. So that's pretty impressive. You know, it's a little smoke and mirrorsy right now. It goes to show you that it is early. Now, Volpe has just started moving up in the batting order, still hitting very well, 372. You know, GC is leading your team with four homers. We'll see how long that lasts. But they desperately need the length from this batting order, right? It's a good deal. It's a big deal that the Yankees got off hot and that they're not sustaining any injuries. If they can get contributions from guys not named Judge, not named Rizzo, not named Stanton, and if they can get that production and that confidence from other players, and then when Stanton, Rizzo, and Judge inevitably get hot, because that's baseball, Susan, this team can go on a tear and really put away the American League East early. Now, pitching-wise, Rodon has been great. Carlos Rodon has been great so far this season, right? Stroman has been hit or miss. Nestor Cortez has been hit or miss. Clark Schmidt is Clark Schmidt. That bullpen scares the hell out of me still. Loaizig is out for the season. Like, that's something that's going to be an issue. Moving forward, that is something that's definitely going to be an issue in the Bronx. Now, we'll see what Gerrit Cole is. He's resumed throwing. So, Yankee fans, there's a chance that he can beat this thing without having surgery. So, if they get him back and slot everybody down one, that rotation gets a little bit more dangerous. Is he going to be able to push through is the question. Is he going to be willing to push through is the question. I don't know if it's necessarily a smart decision for him to push through anything. So if he feels any modicum of soreness or pain, you're going to have to shut it down again. Make the moves. Do what you need to do. You already started the process. Brian Cashman has put together this team, and they are doing very well. They have a doubleheader today in Cleveland, so we'll see where they go from there. Cleveland, who has also started off very well, surprising to us. But I think it's a big deal for the Yankees, a confidence booster for the Yankees, a confidence booster for Yankee fans, and it is something that was needed because a slow start would not have been tolerated, and a slow start with that pitching would have buried them. So kudos to the Yankees. They keep it moving, and we'll see when things really start to heat up where they stand.
Are you in need of air care maintenance or service? I have the company for you. Air Care Technicians. They service the Westchester and Northern Bronx area and can help you with all your heating and cooling maintenance and service needs. Just give them a call at 914-315-1547. Again, that's 914-315-1547. Or shoot them an email at aircaretechnicians@gmail.com. These guys are the real deal, as they are veteran-owned, licensed, and insured. Make sure to tell them that D&Z sent you.
The choice is yours. Swipe left or swipe right. All right, boys and girls, particularly my online dating fans, we have a statement. That's either swipe left or swipe right. Here we go. Swipe left or swipe right. Number one, Coach Cal in Arkansas?
You know, Z, I was actually down on this in the beginning. I was swiping left. But when you think about it, who is Arkansas's most famous alum?
Jerry Jones.
So I'm sure Jones gave Cal some assurances and said, we got this. So I'm swiping right on Cal in Arkansas. I thought it was actually kind of funny where they, if you saw the press conference, they say, did you meet with the team? What team?
He's not crazy. Wrong. He's got one guy. One guy. I mean, it's a situation, man. I'll tell you that much. And then you couple that with Kentucky hiring Mark Pope from BYU, it's very interesting. Clearly, Kentucky did not want any part of another big-name Big Ego coach. So, I'm going to swipe right as well because it's a palate cleanser for John Calipari. He gets to go and he gets to build this organization from the ground up. And yeah, he's not getting the money that you would think he's getting, right? That's kind of an issue, you would think. But to your point, Jerry Jones and I believe the Waltons from Walmart are also...
Yep, they are.
Yeah, so those are deep pockets, man. So those are really deep pockets, and it wouldn't surprise me if they can buy a championship in two seasons. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. Now, to tie things back to the earlier segment, if I'm one Bronny James, I would forego this NBA draft nonsense and go to Calipari. I would go to Arkansas. Say, make me an NBA player, coach.
You'll find out a lot about yourself. Yeah.
Make me an NBA player. Because there's one thing that John Calipari does well. He gets you ready for the NBA. Like, that's his job. And he takes his job very seriously. So, I'm here for it. Good for you, coach. I mean, this isn't the first time he's gone to a non-basketball school and made it a basketball school. He started, like, on the national stage. He started at UMass all that time ago, if we remember. So, he was very successful at Memphis. Not necessarily well-known programs. Memphis State in the past was, but by the time Cal got there, it was a little falling on hard times. So it's a good reclamation project, and I think that within 2 years, the Razorbacks are going to be cutting down the nets. Swipe left or swipe right, number two, the Knicks without Julius Randle.
You know, I'm swiping right. I'm not really worried. Like, I think they destroyed the Celtics two nights ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, the problem becomes in a long series, and you're really just relying on Jalen Brunson to do a lot. That's the problem. He's the only guy now. It's all on him. But I was never a big Julius Randle fan, so it's like whatever. But I think they're still capable of beating the Sixers. I think they're capable of beating the Celtics. They've shown that. Oddly enough, the only area of concern I have is if they have to play the Cavs. I think the Cavaliers will give them a problem. Weird enough, I don't know why, but I really do think they're okay, but the Cavs will give them a problem.
Well, last year they gave them a problem too when they were in the playoffs, and it was a Cavs-Knicks matchup. So I think you're absolutely spot on with that. I'm swiping right. I think they're okay without Julius Randle. You're looking at, you know, they're scoring well. You know, Jalen Brunson's averaging about 29 a game. It's the Jalen Brunson show. But yeah, you bring in guys like OG Anunoby. You bring in, you know, Josh Hart. You have a complementary team around Jalen Brunson. It doesn't necessarily need to be what it's been for Julius Randle, where it was Julius Randle and a bunch of other dudes. Like, can RJ Barrett kind of step up and be Julius Randle's number two? You don't need to worry about that anymore. Julius Randle could be the number four on this team, you know? And what you were concerned about with the Knicks is, are they going to score enough? They're averaging 113 points a game. I'd say that's pretty good.
They play damn good defense.
And they play great defense. Now, what is the bugaboo of Coach Thibodeau in the past? Short rotations, kills them. Just runs them into the fucking ground. So if he ever learns his lesson, this would be the year. Because right now, like, they would have the two seed. They're going to, I mean, if Giannis can't finish the season because of that calf strain, the Knicks can easily take the tip. Now, what are you looking at? Maybe the Pacers? And that was extremely disrespectful by Shaq and Charles Barkley. I mean, come on now. Yeah, the Pacers will give him a scare, but I really don't think the Pacers will knock off the Knicks in the first round. You know, the Pacers are too young. They don't play any defense. None. Absolutely none. So
They did get to the finals in that tournament.
Oh, stop. It's the play-in tournament in friggin' December. Like, that turned out to mean absolutely jack shit. Didn't the Lakers win that? Like, come on now. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's all we need to know about that bullshit tournament. And we're going to get it again next year. But the Knicks have built. They've done what they needed to do. And it was the ascension, you know, it was that that improvement, right? That modicum of improvement each year. That's what makes good teams. Now, who's to say? Who is to say? But right now, Julius Randle would be the luxury. We talked about how, you know, certain guys like Stephon Diggs, they're the parsley on the plate. Julius Randle would be the parsley on the plate for the Knicks. So it would be nice to have. It makes you look good, but it's the Jalen Brunson show, man. And this team will go as far as Jalen Brunson will take them. And as presently constructed and the way they're humming, they're going to be A-OK. They're going to be A-OK in the Eastern Conference. Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade store with DNZ.com today for all your Fade Route merch needs. I'm talking tank tops, t-shirts, sweatshirts, like yoga pants, we got those too. Like some cool accessories, we got those too. And we're not done yet. We have so much more planned for you, but check out what we have today at the Fade store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade store with DNZ.com. The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award. All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. We put up a poll on our X account, at FadeRouteDNZ, and our Instagram account, at Fade Route Podcast, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
Rashi Rice. That's a bad one. So, got caught with a shit ton of weed, drag racing, Lambos. Not a good look. Not a good look whatsoever. But that was last week. This is this week. What are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right. So first up, I've got the Philadelphia 76ers. They revealed a small statue of their former star, Allen Iverson. Guys, if you're going to do a statue, man, do it right. Just make it life-size. It's kind of embarrassing. I think even he was kind of surprised by what was happening. So, Philadelphia Sixers, 76ers, you are my alleged superstars of the week. Number three, I'm going to go with beat writers. And I'm calling out Jeff Passan, Buster Olney, Steve Gilbert, about how they're not talking about the Ohtani betting situation.
It's bad.
Betting scandal. And they're trying to brush this under the rug and pretend it's nothing, where now it's over $20 million that this man stole. And you're telling me he stole from his best friend and he bet on every sport but baseball, even though he was in the dugout talking to Ohtani, talking to the other guys?
No way.
Bullshit.
No way.
Bullshit. And shame on you guys for not talking about it. Because you're trying to brush this under the rug like you did with steroids and you did with everything else. It is bullshit. This man bet on everything. Ohtani knew about it. And it's up to you guys to go dig, get the digging and put the reporting out there. Absolute bullshit. I am surprised. I am surprised, especially Jeff Passan, because he usually puts everything out there regardless if he likes her or not. But they're really trying to cover for this guy. And it's not right. It's not right. And last but not least, I'm going with LeBron James. You're advising your son to go to the NBA after he averaged 5 points playing for a USC team that could barely score over 44 points a game. Do better, LeBron. Just do better.
Some selfish decisions. Like that's what I'm hearing. Some selfish decisions. Now, as far as the Ohtani thing with the Jeff Passans of the world, like, a rising tide floats all boats. Right? He just got a $700 million contract. Like, I get it. You don't want to kill the golden goose. I understand that. But at the same time, you're 100% right. Not reporting on this is irresponsible. Absolutely friggin' irresponsible. And
every day, we should be seeing articles about this. And we're not seeing anything about it. Anything. Like, it's not happening.
No.
Which is horseshit.
This should be getting the OJ treatment. To tie us back to the beginning of the show, this should be getting the OJ treatment. Every single day, there should be something. You're absolutely right. And if they did any investigative reporting, they would find something. It's easy to do investigative reporting when you don't like the guy, right? Game of Shadows, Barry Bonds is a prick. I understand. I understand you'd want to go after Barry Bonds because he's a prick. He can be prickish. I'm sure he can even agree with that. But it's absolutely ridiculous. For me, I'm going with the Miami Marlins first and foremost. Skip Schumacher, manager of the year last year, got his contract voided, so he'll be a free agent at the end of the season. Huh? Kim Ng, voted, I believe, executive of the year last year. Out on her ass. We just don't want to go in the direction that... What direction? You don't want to win? Is that the direction we want to do? This is the direction you don't want to go in? I'm confused. The Miami Marlins need to figure out what the fuck is going on. But then again, the Miami Marlins have never figured out what's going on. They buy championships, they sell their players, and then they move on. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. This is a clown organization, and it continues to be a clown organization. Miami Marlins, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred. Oh, dear God. You are killing the sport. NBC just dropped Peacock games on Sunday afternoons. ESPN is dropping MLB coverage after this year. Three teams' regional cable networks have gone belly up. And Bally's Diamond is on the verge of bankruptcy. All on your watch, Rob. All on your watch. Do better. Just do better. Rob Manfred, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then last but not least, the Philadelphia Phillies. Dropping those City Connect uniforms. You look like the Jacksonville Jaguars. What the fuck is that? What are those? I'm waiting for Jackson DeVille, and I'm trying to figure out when Trevor Lawrence is coming in the game. They're hideous. They're absolutely hideous. And you know what? Can we just kill the City Connect thing? Like, they have not produced one good fucking uniform.
I heard the Mets are going to wear purple.
Yeah, I mean, that one makes sense at least because you take the seven.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
You take the seven train to the game. The seven train is purple. It's a purple circle, right?
I don't take the seven
train. You don't. I mean, you drive. But you don't go to Met games unless they're playing the Braves. Who are we kidding here? And how about those Mets? Two out of three from the Braves. Don't think I wasn't going to mention that. But that one at least makes sense. I don't understand the City Connect. Maybe it's me. Like, Philly fans, like, educate us. Because I'm guessing it's Eagles colors. Like, I educate me, please. Because it looks terrible. Philadelphia Phillies, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees. Just do better, boys. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay faded, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a review, turn on subscription notifications, and tell your friends. Spread the word, spread it wide.